Hi, this is Mike Grell, and I'm here with the Long Box guys, whoever the hell they are.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like Mecca for geeks in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith. Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Long Box, guys. My name is Thomas Strange. With me, as always, are some of my best friends since I was a very young man. LT, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I am doing just okay, so I'm drinking water tonight. How are you doing, Tommy?
Thank you for asking. I'm doing terrific. I had a little too much last night because my Irish neighbor brought home a bottle of something brown from Ireland and made me drink it. Still not really sure what happened after that, but I'm doing better now.
Let's hope it wasn't a colostomy bag.
It was delicious. So maybe.
Yeah, could be. I'm not judging.
Mike, you are back home in beautiful Louisiana. How you doing? What are you drinking?
It's hot. Damn hot. Africa hot. But I'm doing excellent, and I'm drinking a screwdriver.
A slutty screwdriver?
Oh, it is a very slutty screwdriver.
All right. That just brings us to Josh. Josh, how you doing, and what are you drinking?
I'm doing all right, and I am drinking a strawberry IPA. It's about the first time I'm going to give it a try, so we'll see how it is.
All right.
From Mighty Squirrel.
Mighty Squirrel.
Mighty Squirrel Brewing.
They very rarely do anything wrong. So there's his first sip, ladies and gentlemen. He's drinking it. His face is...
He's rolling around his mouth.
It's not bad.
And
it's not bad.
His toe just fell off. So it's got to be good.
It's got to be good. So speaking of toes falling off, today we're talking about one of the best zombies ever. Yeah. King of the Segway, I tell you. King of the Segway. Solomon Grundy, born on a Monday, christened on Tuesday, married on Wednesday, fell ill on Thursday, got worse on Friday,
died on Saturday,
mourned on Sunday.
Buried on Sunday. And that was the end of Solomon Grundy.
I got pretty close.
Pretty close.
Doing it from memory. I didn't have anything up for that.
That's fair.
I'm going to go a little bit into the history, and one of the reasons I chose to do the history for this one is I can't be wrong. There were so many rewrites, I can almost say any gibberish and at least be close to in the park. He's been around since the 1940s, and his history has been redone and redone over and over again. One of the constant themes is the swamp, slaughter swamp. So the biggest one would be where he is a rich merchant, sometimes named Gold, who is killed in Slaughter Swamp for his riches, and he comes back to life years and years later as the monstrous Solomon Grundy. In his first big story arc he comes back as the foil of the original Green Lantern. His name was
Alan
Mikey?
Scott.
Thank you, Alan Scott. Alan Scott had a terrible time with this particular Solomon Grundy because this Solomon Grundy was not only zombified and magical powered, but mostly made out of wood because he had absorbed a lot of the muck in the swamp. And Alan Scott's weakness, instead of being the color yellow, was wood. So Solomon Grundy wanders into a camp of thieves. They start talking to him. He doesn't know his name. And they start saying, oh, you kind of like that poem, so you were just born, huh? So like you're Solomon Grundy. And the guy goes, oh, yeah, sure, I'll be Solomon Grundy. That's how he took the name Solomon Grundy from the children's rhyme. He goes on a robbing spree, as anyone would, mm-hmm. with these murderous thieves, taking on Alan Scott a couple times, beating him soundly. Alan Scott, by the way, how good of a Green Lantern are you if you forget to bring your power ring to a fight? He had a concussion, and the second time he faces Solomon Grundy, he realizes he left his power ring behind.
They didn't have the concussion protocols back then. They weren't really, you know, after the concussion, there was really no checkups or follow-ups. He wasn't required to wear any headgear, and they just let him back into the field. And that's what you get. football players without helmets.
Yeah, that never would have happened in the Mojoverse. Shatterstar was forced to wear that helmet.
That's right.
All the time.
Shatterstar is ahead of his time. From there, it goes on to many different variations. My favorite variation on the Solomon Grundy origin story was that he was a mine a worker in this logging camp that was in Slaughter Swamp, and the cruel foreman murders and rapes his wife. And to get revenge, Solomon Grundy, known by a totally different name, not Gold this time, kills everyone in the camp and commits suicide in the swamp. So that's kind of a cool origin story.
Was that written by Alan Moore?
It might have been. There's also another origin story.
You know what this origin story could use? His wife getting raped.
Yeah.
The wife gets raped. I totally believe it.
Yeah. You know why? Because there are no refrigerators in Slaughter Swamp.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. Every time we do a Hudson Hawk reference, by the way, drink from now on.
Fair enough.
All right, so let's go into some story arcs since we talked a little bit about origin stories. Tommy, what's your favorite?
So that origin story sounds remarkably like my favorite origin story from Earth 2, from the 2012-2015 Earth 2 storyline written by Matt Kent. Issue number 15.2, Solomon Grundy, where Solomon Grundy, living in Slaughter Swamp, he is working at a pig slaughterhouse. His wife gets raped by the owner, and Solomon Grundy, his wife then takes her own life because she can't stand it anymore. Solomon Grundy then takes out his knife, kills the owner, kills all his co-workers, then kills himself, and then falls into the swamp, and then hears his child, his little baby, cry, and that's when he kind of begins to be reborn. And that was one of my favorite stories. I also really like the fact that even though he had a really, really, really tiny bit part in the Emperor Joker story, he was the warden that kept Superman imprisoned, and I really like that.
So Josh really hates timeline mix-up stories. I really hate total reality warping stories. So I haven't even read the Emperor Joker series yet. I do not like total wipe-out, redo reality stories, with very few exceptions. Mikey, what's your fave?
So I'm going to recommend that people go out and check out Justice League of America, The Tornado's Path. It is the first series of, I don't remember which volume of Justice League of America it is, but it's by Brad Meltzer and Ed Benes. It's all about the Red Tornado. He becomes human, and his android body is stolen. Turns out it involves Solomon Grundy and Professor Ivo. It's a very complicated storyline. But what I like about it most is Solomon Grundy is tired of constantly dying in order to get reborn, and he's trying to entrap his soul in the robot body so he can't die again, which is and he's also smart in this version. So imagine a diabolical, incredible Hulk. So it's a good story. That's the one I'm going to recommend for everybody to go check out.
All right, Josh, how about you?
I'm going to go for the origin of the origin of the origin stories, since I am not a huge DC fan. So my recommendation will be Nursery Rhymes of England, published in 1842 by James Orchard Hollowell. It's the first time this poem is ever put into print. The origin early on in the late 1700s was actually teach children the days of the week. And then later on, the poem gets changed to sort of have a boogeyman feel. And at the end, when it becomes the boogeyman field, it's returns on Monday at the end. So originally it's just this guy who perplexingly lives his entire life in a week to teach children a simple song, learn the days of the week, and then later on sort of morphs into this pseudo-horror story that people use. Now, in the the name of the character is actually pretty interesting because Solomon Grundy is also a food. It's a dish in French cuisine, which is actually pickled fish pate with salad and eggs. And the
don't just say something that disgusting and move on.
What? You don't like pickled fish? You've never had like bluefish pate? No. Or you've never had tuna fish in oil?
Actually, I hate tuna fish in oil. I love tuna fish. I don't like it in oil so much.
Anybody's had tuna fish in oil? It's tuna fish in oil on a frickin' salad with hard-boiled eggs. It's not that awful. It's only Tom saying disgusting things about it.
I gotta agree with Tom. I don't like tuna fish in oil.
Oh, my God. Fuck.
Jeez. Greatest sandwiches of all time. Go.
Who gives a shit?
And that word came from salmagundi, a Jamaican dish of mixed meat on a salad. That's all my background about a poem.
So, Tom, do you have a favorite series with Solomon Grundy, or are you just going to talk about Challenge of the Super Friends?
I do want to talk about Challenge of the Super Friends at some point, because Solomon Grundy, being the guy who owns the gas station for no reason whatsoever, is hysterically funny, and I am going to put that up on our Twitter feed at some point. I love Solomon Grundy. He's almost as high up for me as Juggernaut is for Josh. I always enjoy seeing him. Giant zombie plant monster, part of the green, part of the gray sometimes. I think my favorite story arc involves him, Dr. Fate, and I think it was Constantine was helping out on this one too, where they're trying to help Solomon Grundy figure out who murdered him so that when Blackest Night happens, he's not called in to be an avatar of death. Because everyone's worried that if the Darkest Night happens, the Blackest Night happens, and Solomon Grundy's around, that's probably a bad combination.
I think that was the Phantom Stranger.
You're right. You know what? In my mind, I put Constantine in there instead because I like him better.
Phantom Stranger is superior.
He's got a cooler necklace. I'll give him that. And a hat.
He's sharp. He's a lot sharper.
Josh, you would like him because he's got a really cool hat.
He's got a nice
fedora. And the Super Friends, like every other organization, only allow one fedora. So the Question or the Phantom Stranger, never the two on the same team.
Yeah.
One fedora per team. That's it.
Just too cool otherwise.
Yeah. The Spirit, you're out, buddy. So in this particular story arc, Solomon Grundy, who is in his human form now, once again, Mr. Gold, is trying to figure out what happened in Slaughter Swamp so he can break the cycle. It turns out that he does commit suicide, and he wants to break the cycle, but the only way to break the cycle is to forgive the people who murdered him, and he cannot forgive himself for killing himself, thereby becoming Solomon Grundy once again, and then it enters into the Blackest Night storyline. A lot of really cool revelations in this four comic book story arc. The Phantom Stranger is a cool character, I'll give you that, and working with Dr. Fate, all pretty cool. A lot of superheroes, by the way, kept trying to stop them, saying, let's just, you know, do what we always do with Solomon Grundy and, like, put him on the moon or something for a couple of years if we're so afraid. And the Phantom Stranger and Dr. Fate actually took a little sympathy, a little empathy, and tried to do something to help Solomon Grundy break that cycle.
Have you guys been watching Gotham at all? I'm just kidding. I know you guys aren't. But
he did finally show up, yeah.
And he is actually one of my favorite characters on that. He starts off as a character named Butch, who is the right-hand man for Fish Mooney, then later on for the Penguin, teaming up with Tigress and then Barbara Keene. And then eventually he dies, gets thrown into Slaughter Swamp, and then comes back. And just like in the storyline in the comic books, he doesn't have any memory of how he came back, comes across an encampment. They tell him his name is like he doesn't have a name. It's like the old Solomon Grundy children's tale. He takes up that name and then becomes the muscle for the Riddler. But it's actually a very good run. And the best part about it was the Riddler is able to eventually cure Solomon Grundy, turn him from his zombified state back into his regular state, so he can kill him in front of Butch's ex-girlfriend, so that way she can see him die again.
Yeah, that's kind of a prick move.
Yeah, and that is.
But they yeah. really didn't like each other all that much. Riddler had tortured.
Oh no, I'm sorry. Not it was Penguin, not Riddler.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because Riddler had already tortured both Butch and his girlfriend before,
right.
in a saw-like contraption, kind of thing, where Butch lost his hand. So, yeah.
So let me ask you this: did Penguin give him some pants?
Solomon Grundy needs pants.
Solomon Grundy does not need pants. Solomon Grundy wants pants too.
Fun Alec fact: Solomon Grundy was voiced by Mark Hamill in the Justice League animated series.
That is fun.
Yeah. And who plays him in Gotham?
The guy who played Butch.
Yeah. Drew Powell.
Okay.
Wait, really? Stand up next time you pull a name like that out of your ass. God damn, son. That was good. I applaud you. That's a slow clap. Good on you. I couldn't have drew that name in a million years.
You know what? For the love of God, I don't know why I know that either. It's not like I've ever met the man.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I haven't seen him out doing the circuits yet, but you know, sooner or later we'll get him out at the Comic Cons. Anyone have any last words about everyone's favorite zombie? He is my favorite zombie. I would watch that video. My favorite zombie.
My favorite zombie.
Yeah.
My favorite zombie. My favorite zombie.
He doesn't breathe. He's not...
Wow.
By the way, Green Arrow, there's a lot of different ways that Solomon Grundy has died. The stupidest way I've seen him die, Green Arrow chokes him out with a bowstring. Solomon Grundy... His powers are different almost every time he comes back, but I thought we could agree that he's a zombie, and zombies don't really need to breathe that much.
Plants still need carbon.
Oxygen.
Carbon.
Carbon. They give off
carbon dioxide. Yeah. Yeah, that's what they do.
Yeah.
But, so he still needs to breathe, just not oxygen.
Yeah. His lungs are just two giant leaves.
Plants do have a system of moving liquid around in them, similar to veins in a body. So it could be very possible that Green Arrow did collapse the system of tubules that moves around all the liquids and allows the different gases to be absorbed equally in the body, in Solomon Grundy's body to...
Or...
Wait, before we...
Solomon Grundy was so bored of fighting Green Arrow, knowing that Green Arrow can never defeat him and he couldn't get his hands on him, that he just played dead, let Green Arrow leave, and then walked away.
Before we go into that, let me back up to LT's response. Congratulations. For 30 years, I wondered why you get a fucking degree in environmental science, and now you have finally shown why you did it for just this podcast. Very well done, sir.
I was about to make the same comment. Also, I was going to ask you if you like pancakes, LT.
Yes.
It doesn't matter if you like pancakes. Solomon Grundy doesn't need to breathe, asshole.
I'm like just pancakes.
Saying. Like, yeah. He obviously does need to breathe because otherwise he wouldn't have been taken out by the bow.
Yeah. Bowstring.
The moon for decades.
I'm still going with the board of fighting Green Arrow theory.
You know what? I'm jumping over with Flash on this one.
All right. Moving on.
Moving on.
All right. I guess that's it on Solomon Grundy. Anyone have any other last words?
Oh, now, Mike, you guys might know this. Has there been an instance where Lobo has fought Solomon Grundy? Because I was looking for that, and I was like, you know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see Lobo beat up the zombie, but I couldn't find it.
No.
Gray action?
I can't recall any instances where they fought. I think my favorite fight of Solomon Grundy was him against Bizarro. And he totally kicked Bizarro's ass, by the way.
I do know that Superman's finisher on Solomon Grundy in Injustice is pretty awesome.
Flies him into the sun?
No, he flies through him, out through his back, and bursts out of chest, and Solomon explodes.
Nice.
Superman's just vicious.
Yeah. Can you just throw everyone into the sun? That would, like, be my go-to. I'd be, who's that? Oh, no, it's the guy who throws you into the sun.
See, that reminds me, you know the movie Unbreakable? Yeah. One of the things I dislike about the movie Unbreakable is that his – and I for all the people out there listening to the podcast, I'm making air quotes. His weakness or vulnerability is water, right? Because he can drown. That's not a vulnerability. Everybody drowns. It's not like kryptonite. It's not a particular vulnerability. It's not like normal people don't drown, and he does.
That is the worst REM song ever.
Everybody drowns. And that's what the throwing into the sun seems like. It seems like, well, people who are vulnerable to being thrown into the sun. No, pretty much everyone dies when they're thrown into the sun. Yeah.
That's why I'd be throw him into the sun guy.
That's right. If I was ever a superhero, Mike, my vulnerability I'm going to list is being thrown into the sun.
Well, you know how far away the sun is?
It's far. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not close.
You got to break
Earth. It takes like light 8 minutes to get here from there.
Yeah. That's a long way to go.
Yeah.
And I'm a good shot.
Yeah.
Like Superman and Longshot have a baby.
It would take some sort of Space Force to get you all the way to the sun. I mean, sun.
Space Force! All right, I guess that does it for Solomon Grundy. Mikey, do you got something fun at the front of the long box?
I do. I have the new Hawkman fresh off his return from obscurity that Rob Liefeld stuck him in. He has reappeared in the Metal series, and now he has his own series written by Robert Vendetti. It is a story going back to Hawkman's roots. He's an archaeologist, and he comes across a totem belonging to a monkey god. So, yeah, we've got giant apes and Hawkman. All kinds of goodness. Go ahead and check out Hawkman number one. Just came out about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago.
All right. Tommy, what's in the back of that long box?
I've got Abe Sapien, Volume 1, The Drowning, by Mike Mignola and Jason Alexander. Came out in September 2004 by Dark Horse. This is a story of Abe Sapien's first solo adventure. He is sent out from the BPRB to go and try to track down a mystical dagger. And it is rumored to have been sunk in an old Spanish ship off the coast of Saint Sebastian, and he goes to hunt it down, and it is a great little story of that involves zombies relevant to today's conversation, and it's a fantastic little story.
All right. I always like seeing Abe Sapien. Always fun to read, depending on what's going on out there.
Fun
and
little,
Josh.
Fun little Abe Sapien fact, fun Alec fact about Abe Sapien. His weakness is not drowning.
It's true.
But throw him into the sun and shit goes down.
Yeah.
That's right. His vulnerability is being thrown into the sun, Mike.
Yeah.
It is a total vulnerability for Abe Sapien. He can't last at all when he's thrown in the sun.
Yeah.
You know, if I was Abe Sapien, I would definitely start a rumor that drowning was my weakness. Oh, no, don't throw me in the water.
No, no.
Don't throw me in the briar water.
Oh, no, don't choke me out with a bowstring. That's my weakness.
Oh, no. I'm a vampire. Oh, you threw garlic on me. I'm terrible with garlic. But that's a little tangential, and that's usually Josh's foray. Josh.
All righty, folks. If you could have one imaginary position in the imaginary Space Force, what's your job in the Space Force?
Okay.
Wave gun firer guy.
See, I was gonna pick Death Star programmer.
Oh, wait, what was Julie's job on the Love Boat?
Cruise director.
That might be it. I'm in charge of the fun. Hey guys, I know we're fighting the Borg next week, but you know it's gonna take a while to get there. So,
okay, I'm gonna change mine. I want to be the bartender.
Isaac.
And Isaac. Yeah. There's a lot of storied space bartenders out there.
Mm. Yeah.
You
know, I think I might be the guy who writes the specials on the galley whiteboard.
That guy actually, you know, my favorite position in the Navy is there's a meals specialist. And they, I mean, their job is to fill the snack machines. There's like 240 snack machines on some of those big aircraft carriers, and they don't have civilians on those things.
As that opposed job, to the tiny aircraft carriers, which are horribly frustrating.
Yeah. Tiny little. Got like two planes on it. God damn it!
That's Park Jim.
My neck! Why is that so funny?
Either that or the guy on the bridge that just repeats whatever the captain says, only louder.
That's called the XO.
Yeah.
That's a shitty job.
What about you, Josh?
I'm going for contract negotiations. You got to buy stuff at reasonable prices, Tom. Don't look at me like that. It's important.
I need an ashtray that breaks into four pieces.
And will only break into four pieces, even if thrown into the sun.
And no sharp edges.
No sharp edges.
In the Space Force, you got to learn a lot of alien languages for that job.
Yeah.
I'm still going with Lido Deck Director Cruise Director. I'll be the guy that gets the shuffleboard, you know, teams and darts and foosball. Josh, you're a big foosball guy.
I do love foosball.
Got to keep the troops entertained on those long voyages.
For some reason, Tom, I thought you'd be the guy who would try to hunt down new porn for the holodeck.
You have to hunt down porn for the holodeck?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? You go get your own porn.
It's called the internet. What are we searching for here? Yeah. How much effort do you have to put in?
I'm still, by the way, I'm so happy with my new porn rule. I think I've told you guys this before, but if I can only find it in German or Japanese, I don't need to watch that shit. That's my new porn rule.
Okay.
And that brings me to my section.
Does it?
I usually talk about civil rights and social justice issues, and that's been all over the news this week. So I'm going to start a new segment that'll take the place of it every once in a while when I can't bring myself to talk about the atrocities that are happening. And it's called Give That Another Shot. Why not? And this week I give it another shot, why not? I told you all to go watch Punisher Warzone, my favorite Punisher movie. It just popped on Hulu. Did anybody watch it?
Not yet.
No.
Guys all suck. But I'm telling all the Legionnaires out there, go watch it. I think it was the best Punisher movie, which isn't exactly a high watermark. It's not nearly as good as the TV show. But having an actual bad guy like Jigsaw, by the way, Jigsaw's coming back. He's going to be fighting Daredevil next season. Jigsaw is one of my favorite villains. It was great to see him in the movie. I'm really excited to see him coming in Netflix. So give it another shot, why don't you? Punisher Warzone.
And the new Luke Cage series this Friday.
This Friday? This
Friday, yeah.
Bushwhacker, right?
Bushmaster.
Bushwhacker. Yeah, hey, get out of that bush.
Luke and Butch.
Hey, Luke and Butch.
They're just going to lick him.
Ah. Yeah.
Nasty. No one gets that. Anybody get that besides me?
Luke, I got
Butch
that.
Reference?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Oh, by the way,
to make me watch that stuff.
In a total tangential note, have you guys been watching Lost in Space? I finally caught the first five episodes. I freaking love it.
Oh yeah, I finished. Yeah, it. I shot ways ago. Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
I finished it one night.
Yeah.
Wow.
But then again, you know, I do have insomnia.
Tom, go check it out.
All right. Give it another shot, why don't I?
Yeah.
It's a worthy remake. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. It's got some
basic problems, but it's, you know, you got to suspend your disbelief. But, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, because they're on a fucking spaceship to begin with. Yeah, I have to suspend my disbelief on some shit.
Well, I mean, like, you know. Taking your spacesuit off before you test the atmosphere and shit.
That's every space show ever, though.
It's true.
Yeah, and he had a hole in his fucking suit. That's why they knew. Besides,
okay to me.
In Space Force, it's the lowest ranked guy who takes his shit off after they've tested to see if the atmosphere is hazardous. Yeah.
Yeah. Every Aliens movie ever, they're just running around planets with their helmets off.
Yeah, take your helmet off. Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe it. Idea. It'll be fine. It's a good idea.
Can you believe?
Oxygen-rich environment. Can you believe it? Yeah.
No biological threats whatsoever. Can you believe it?
All right, enough Hudson Hawk stuff because I'm out of my drink. All
right. And we're also out of time here. Bringing us over to plugs. Mikey, what do you got to plug for me?
Well, we'd like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing us our geek rock music every week. You can check them out at kirbycracklemusic.com or go buy their stuff on iTunes or Bandcamp. Also, we'd like to thank our fellow podcasters out there. You know who you are.
I'd like to thank and plug our Patreon page. Go to patreon.com/TheLongBoxGuys and take a look at what we're doing over there. We give a little feedback to some of our Patreons. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us get out to cons, put out this podcast, and you also get to hear a weekly other podcast called The GOAT, Greatest of All Time. Last week, we argued about who the greatest band or singer in comic books was. Tommy, what do you got to plug?
I would like to plug GeekOrthodox.com. GeekOrthodox.com, purveyor of fine t-shirts and other geeky things, such as Johnny Skywalker rocks glasses, stained glass prints, you name it, they got it. It's all good at GeekOrthodox.com.
I am actually drinking from a Johnny Skywalker glass as we do this podcast. I am wearing Geek Orthodox socks and a Geek Orthodox shirt. I would be wearing Geek Orthodox underwear, but they don't make thongs.
Yet. Yeah.
Yet.
You guys are welcome for that visual.
Yeah. I would like to say Fan Expo.
I'm actually Boston. Wearing a stained glass print right now.
Boston Comic Con. I know Tom's going to want to be there. You want to know why?
Why?
Jeff Goldblum will be at
Jeff Boston Goldblum!
That is August 10th to the 12th.
Guys, I want to get autographs from.
The week after that, Epic Nerd Camp. Ooh. The Saber Legion, because we beat up people with lightsabers, coming to Boston soon. And Friendly Neighborhood Comics. That place is clean.
All right, well, that'll about do it for us. Mikey, what's this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
And Josh? Fan Expo, that's got to be your sector.
As long as Jeff Goldblum's going to be there, that is my sector.
Damn straight it is. I think Marcus Brody's going to be there, too. My hero, my personal savior, Marcus Brody. Tommy, what do you got to say for yourself over there, buddy?
I got to say, this podcast is like, it's like bringing together community of fans, like a family of fans together. It's like bringing them all together. Like, yeah.
And you are our Oliver. Brady Bunch reference. There you go. You're welcome, everyone.
There you go.
And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. You're going to live longer. Thank you from the Long Box, guys. I come over and do it for $10 an hour, some daddy hugs.